Father, as we come today, we just pray that you would remind us again just where you have brought us from, what it is that you have brought us out of, so that we might praise you, so that we might offer thanks, and also so that we might sing of what you have done for us, and that we might also be willing, not only willing, but even eager to share what you have done, your mighty works, and share them with others so that they too might know. And Lord, our desire is that you would be continually magnified. And you have done so many wonderful works in our individual lives. Aside from any problems we may have, aside from any little stubborn parts in our lives that still need to get right before you and be brought into line and things like that. But overall, your work of salvation in us, Lord, is such a marvelous thing, as you have manifested your grace to us in so many different ways that really, as David says, if we really started to tell them all, we would just run out of time, because there would not be enough time to tell of all the wonderful things you have done. So Lord, today we come. We come so thankful that we've been rescued. We're thankful that you've set our feet on a rock and established our goings, put a new song in our mouths, given us a testimony to share. And Lord, that from this point on, many others would hear, many others would fear, and many others would turn to the Lord our God and to our Lord Jesus Christ. So just take your word today, Lord. It's the same word. It's the same word that transforms. It's the same word that transformed people in the Apostle Paul's day, in David's day, and in our day. And even though things are like they are around us, all your hand is not short to save, and you will reach down and save any of us. And Lord, when we do need that rescue, help us to not be ashamed or timid to call out and say, Lord, help me, save me, deliver me. And Lord, we just thank you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is just a great little psalm, and David wrote it, and it's a psalm of testimony. And because it's a psalm of testimony, again, it really is your story and my story. This is the story of every single believer, every single person that's ever truly been born again. This psalm is their story. And so today, just want to go through it a little bit here. And if you're one of those who like to fill in the blanks and take the notes, there aren't too many today. It's just the points, some of the main, maybe not all, but some of the main points of this psalm. And we're going to paraphrase a little bit as we go along. But he starts out and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He heard me. And he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. And so this really is the first part of any of our testimony. Whether we were raised in church or not, whether we got mixed up in really, really bad things like drugs and stuff like that, or whether we just dabbled around, you know, trying to look respectable, the fact of the matter is that we have all been sunk in the miry clay of sin. Every single one of us. And it was something that was going to condemn us forever, and it was something that we could not extricate ourselves from. And one day we heard the good news. We heard that the Lord Jesus Christ had given his life on the cross for us and shed his blood for us. And so we turned to him. And when you come to the Lord, we talk about accepting the Lord, receiving the Lord, and all of that. But what we're really saying when we come to the Lord is, Lord, deliver me from my sin. Deliver me from the sin itself. Deliver me from the penalty associated with it. I am lost. I am sinking. I am gone. I am eternally lost. Save me. Deliver me. That is the prayer. However we pray it, however we say it, when we come to the Lord, that is what we are asking him to do. How many can remember when you did that? I know there are some people that can't remember a day or an hour, and they're like, well, it's over time. You know, I came to the realization that I had fully trust of the Lord. But whether spoken or unspoken, at some point in some way, this is what has happened. And only the Lord can deliver me. My uncle can't deliver me. My aunt can't deliver me. My mom and my dad, they can teach me the way, show me the way, love me, pray for me, but they cannot deliver me. The government, for sure, can't deliver me. My friends can't deliver me. Not even my best friend that would lay down their physical life for me. They cannot deliver me from this. Only the Lord can deliver me. And if you're looking for deliverance in any other place, my friend, you are looking in the wrong place. Because the only one who can deliver you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that holds true of your family that's not saved. And that holds true of your friends that you know that aren't saved. Only the Lord can deliver them. And so, no wonder it should be our desire, Lord, convict their hearts, bring them to a full knowledge of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that will deliver them. You can love them, you can pray for them, you can support them, you can encourage them, you can do all those things, but only the Lord can deliver them. So point number one, summarized of this prayer, is point number one on our list here. He delivered me. He delivered me. He delivered me from my sin. He delivered me from the penalty of my sin and the consequences of my sin and everything that went along with it. He delivered me from those sinful habits that I had. He delivered me from my sin. He delivered me from my pride. He delivered me from my fears. He delivered me from my misconceptions. And so forth, and not knowing the truth. He delivered me from all of these things. He literally reached down and picked me up out of the pit. Miry clay, we don't have as much of that in Virginia as they have in some states. Not just clay, miry clay. Somebody we know was setting up a display yesterday at a place, and they said, now, it's a little muddy back there. You might want to put a couple planks down or something so that your little gazebo thing doesn't sink into the ground. Well, that's just miry clay. Anybody ever heard of quicksand? Well, anyway, miry clay is just as bad. Just try. The more you struggle, if you were in miry clay and the more you struggled, what would happen? The deeper you're going to sink. So somebody had better rescue you, or you are a goner. Who did this guy cry to? He cried to the Lord. He went to the right place. He said, I cried out to the Lord, and the Lord reached down, and he is the one that pulled me out of the miry clay. So if you're saved today, if you're delivered today, guess who's the one who did it? It was the Lord. It wasn't religion. It wasn't theology. It was the Lord that delivered you. And so the first part of anybody's testimony, whether it's mine or yours, is what? The Lord delivered me! Today is a day to celebrate what God has done in our lives. I'm looking for this microphone. Is there anybody out here that's ever been delivered of something and you'd like to share it with us right now? Is there anybody? Just real quick, in two or three sentences. Something, some way the Lord has delivered you. Who would do that? Right here. Is it on?
Can you hear me?
It's on.
Okay, and I'm standing up just in case you can't see me.
Speak up so we can hear you.
The Lord absolutely delivered me from unforgiveness. Unforgiveness for someone in my family who I didn't even really realize. I thought I had them. I thought, you know what, I'm not going to forgive you, and I've got you. But I was the one that was in chains. I was the one. And when God revealed that to me, it was completely supernatural. He took my heart of stone and turned it so soft towards that person. I saw that person the way that he saw them, which was broken, and someone who needed Christ more than they knew. And the love that came from that was amazing. So he absolutely delivered me from unforgiveness. Absolutely.
And you called him, and he delivered you.
Absolutely. I could not have
done that. Would you still be sinking in that?
Absolutely. I could not have done it by myself. It was the Lord, the majority of my life.
Amen.
He did it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Is there one more? Is there anybody else? Thank you. And so that's the way it works. The Lord is able to deliver, and he wants to deliver. Sometimes we say, I don't think I need deliverance. I've never done anything to be delivered from. Whoa! Tell that to the Lord when you get in front of him. Woo! But, yes, that's the first part of any person's true testimony. The Lord delivered me. Not I've been in church all my life. Not I can quote scripture. There's a lot of people tell me, oh, yeah, as a kid, I was in Sunday school. As my barber used to say, I don't know if you learned that growing up, pin a rose on your nose. But no, the Lord will deliver us. Okay, what's the second thing he did? He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he cut me loose and said, okay, boy, now you on your own. No, that's not how it happened. And set my feet, both my feet, upon a rock. Now, as you visualize miry clay and you visualize a rock, they're kind of like opposites, aren't they? The miry clay is nothing but squishy and all of that. The solid rock, that Jesus said, told a story about the man who built his house upon a rock. So, point number two is, the Lord, first he delivered me, then he put me on solid footing. When a person doesn't know the Lord, they're not on solid footing. They try this, and they try that, and they try the other. The youth from Hope Haven last night, they showed a girl, you know, representing just a regular lost girl, and she's from a home where mom and dad are fighting all the time, and they don't have any time for her, so she turns to friends, and they soon forsake her, and she turns to somebody else, and each one, when they walk away, ripped off a part of her heart. And only when Jesus came and showed her the cross and put his arm around her, then he took a whole new heart. And they hung it around her. But we're just wandering directionless, you know. We're trying this, we're trying that, we're trying the other. We don't have any solid footing whatsoever. You've heard the old saying, so-and-so doesn't have a leg to stand on, whatever. But we don't have any solid footing when we don't know the Lord. We may be successful in a lot of areas. There's a lot of people out there that are successful in the business world, but their personal lives are an absolute mess. But when we don't know the Lord, we are not, in our personal lives, we are not on any kind of a solid footing. So once the Lord delivers me, then he puts me on a solid footing. He begins to give me some direction. He begins to give me some direction from his word. He begins to instruct me. And he's there to uphold me. The Holy Spirit comes along. He's the one that's called to our side, is he not? To be our guide and our help and all of that. And so now the Lord is putting me on some solid footing. Before I was going from thing to thing. A lot of people out there, relationship to relationship. Barbara said, somebody asked her the other day how long she and I had been married. She said, 48 years. And that person just literally marveled. They said, oh, my goodness, you just hardly ever hear of that anymore, of two people being married to each other that long. Isn't that a sad commentary? But it shows you that we don't have any solid footing. So we think the solution is, well, if I can get rid of this relationship and get in a better one, I'll be better off. No, you won't. You might be in some ways, but that isn't the solution. Nobody's going to be on solid footing until they've been delivered by the Lord himself, and then he puts their feet on the solid rock. Now, who is the solid rock, by the way? This was Old Testament, but who's the solid rock? The Lord Jesus Christ is the solid rock. He's the only solid rock. He's the only one that we can actually build our lives upon and know that that's a foundation that will hold in any storm, in any trial, in any test. And furthermore, we're no longer just wandering around. We now have a direction. We have a purpose assigned by Him, and He leads us day by day and leads us in the way that we ought to go. And you know, it's something seeing these little toddlers finding their feet and stuff like that, but eventually they get it. And as we grow, we're supposed to get more solid footing, and that's the way it is as we grow in the Lord. So He delivers us, then He puts us on solid footing. And when we're on solid footing, see, you can't get anywhere. When you're not on solid footing, you're just treading. How many ever had a car stuck? I saw one the other day right over here on Portlock Road, just on the other side of the track, and one wheel had gone down there in that ditch near that church there, and there were three guys trying to bounce that car, hoping that one wheel could get a little bit of traction. The last time I saw it in my rearview mirror, it was still stuck. But when we don't have solid footing, even for an automobile, we may be spinning our wheels and running that motor for all she's worth, but we're not getting anywhere. Thank the Lord for solid footing. Amen? Oh, and then I love this next part. GC will like this one. He gave me a song of praise. He put a new song in my mouth, praise, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Now, the reason I say that, some believe that GC can't carry a tune. But however that is, the Lord puts a new song in our mouth. And I tell you what, this isn't a song you have to learn. This is a song that just wells up from the inside. I love listening to David Engel's music. I got what they called the package one time for Christmas or something like that, and it's got just about every CD that he ever did, and he writes his own stuff. He's the one that owns the Oasis Network, but anyway, he's a good singer, and he writes most of his own stuff, and he's got one called I Don't Sing Those Songs Anymore. And he's talking about those songs about, oh, poor me, and all of this. Like that old style country music, I don't sing those songs anymore. I'm singing a song of praise to my God. And we'll find ourselves humming a tune, and it's a song of praise to our God. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to tell you what to listen to, but I think it'd be a shame a Christian walking around listening to all this old stuff, boom, 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 and with some kind of a worldly message to it, when there's actually a song of praise we could be singing to the Lord. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And the Lord puts a new song. You know, it's like, why are you? But people sing when they're happy, don't they? They may be singing the blues when they're sad, but that song that wells up, that's a song of praise. And that one's, you know, unprompted. That one just comes. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And it says he said that of the Spirit which they would be given. When the Holy Spirit begins to move inside, that song just begins to flow, and it just begins to come out. It's a song of praise to our God. And I tell you what, somebody may hear it. Somebody may see the smile on your face. Somebody may see the spring in your step, and they're like, what in the world is wrong with this person? Where did they get that? And then we have an opportunity to share our testimony with them. But this is the normal Christian life, folks. What do you think? This is the normal Christian life. He delivered me. He put me on solid footing, and then he put a new song in my mouth. And it is a song of praise. And every day I'm singing that new song of praise. We sang a chorus a while ago that kind of says it's a new day. No, we sang it last night. It's a new day dawning, right? But we start out praising the Lord. Should we praise Him when we get up in the morning? Should we praise Him when we go to bed at night? David, in one place, I guess it's David, one of the songwriters in the psalm said, even talks about songs in the night. The Lord gives me songs in the night. How many wake up at night and can't sleep once in a while? Even in the middle of the night, the Lord may give us a song. Paul and Silas were in jail. They had been beaten and their back shredded, and they were in stocks, and they were in a dank, cold, I'm sure, stinking dungeon. And at midnight, what were they doing? Singing praises to the Lord, because they had that new song of praise in their heart. And I tell you what, there is nothing like it. You can have a song in your heart in the night. That was a song we used to hear over HCJB radio when I was a kid growing up in Puerto Rico. You can have a song in your heart in the night, anytime. You can have a song of praise, a song of praise, hallelujah. And that's what the Lord wants for every single one of us. He wants us to have a song. He gives us a song. It says he put it there. He put it there, not somebody else. The Lord himself put that song. If we really know him, whether we think we can sing or not, but he's going to put a song of praise in our mouth. Now, number four, he gave me a testimony worth sharing. Now, I'm going to read a couple of these to you. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now listen to what he says. I have proclaimed the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. What does it mean to proclaim? It means to declare it out loud so that everybody can hear it and know it. I have proclaimed the good news. Does that ring a bell? What do we call the gospel? Good news. I have proclaimed the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I do not zip my lips. I tell what you have done. I love this one. I was reading this, I'm like, whoa. I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. There are people like, oh, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't wear it on my sleeve. And I guess that's something you're supposed to be proud of. On the video that Hope Haven showed last night, young woman, she said, I grew up, attended church, knew the Lord, went to a Christian university. I now have my degree in children's ministries, but she said, I never actually shared the gospel with anybody until I went to work at Hope Haven. How many people's story is that? I've never actually shared the gospel with anybody. I try to live it and all of that, but I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to push it on anybody or whatever. Listen, if you've been delivered, if you've been put on solid footing, if the Lord has given you a song of praise, he has given you a testimony worth sharing. Don't compare your testimony to somebody else. I was on the phone with somebody this week, and he was saying, you know, he said, I had never shared my testimony until I went on a short-term mission trip to the Ukraine or someplace like that. And then there he said, I got used to sharing my story. And he said, I never thought I had much of a story because, I never did. You know, I couldn't say, well, I was delivered from drugs or I was delivered from crime or I was delivered from all that, you know. But he said, I said, it may actually be a bigger miracle when somebody thinks they don't need salvation and the Lord finally shows them they're a sinner and they need to repent. Maybe they've never done anything, as we would say, really, really wrong, That may be a bigger miracle than when the drunkard or the alcoholic or the drug user or the prostitute gets saved. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said the prostitutes and the alcoholics, they're going to get into heaven ahead of you because you don't think you need fixing. So everybody has a story. Your story is your story. Your story, it's the same story of deliverance, but it's your story. And nobody else has the same exact story you have. Amen? Your testimony is yours. But what is your testimony for? Is it to keep to yourself or is it to share? What do you think? Is it for sharing? Absolutely. Now, you don't go around just, you know, pushing it on everybody. But I'll tell you what, anytime you have the opportunity and you can say to anybody, look, this is how my life was, but this is how my life is now since I've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're able to share that in a positive way, that is a wonderful thing. And that is the stuff, that's how people come to the Lord. That's how people learn about His goodness. You may quote scripture after scripture. They don't know much about the scripture. And God's word is sharp and powerful, and we should use it. But He's also given us, because in the testimony, they know who you are. They know who you are. They have seen your life. And so it comes across personal. When we were in sales, we all said, share the personal story. I was always, yeah, my wife has that same microwave at home, and this is what we do with it. That's a lot different than saying, now this button does this and this knob does this. Do you follow what we're saying here? Your story is your story. It's uniquely your story. Do not, listen to this, do not minimize what the Lord has done in your life. Do not minimize it. Do not despise it. Do not say, well, my story is not as good as so-and-so's story, so I don't guess I have much of a testimony to share. Yes, you do. You think about it a little bit. You pray about it a little bit. You have a story to tell, and the Lord wants you to tell it, and you should want to tell it. Can I hear an amen on that? Sure we should. And the Lord will give us those opportunities if we're looking for them. Again, not real pushy, but never missing an opportunity either. That any time. Paul, when he was called before rulers, the first thing he would do, read it in the book of Acts, two or three different times before Agrippa and Felix and all of these big wigs. And that's what the Lord told him. He said, you're going to bear witness to me before rulers and before kings. But the first thing he would do is give his conversion experience, because that he was standing before them, and that's something they could relate to. So the gospel is a wonderful thing. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful verse. But in each of us that have come to know the Lord, that becomes personalized. And when you see a changed life, when you see that witness, when you see that testimony, and you see the joy, and you see how, when I used to talk to people in any setting, but out in the business world, selling appliances and cars and stuff like that, and we'd be in conversation, and all of a sudden we'd get on a topic, and they would just begin to glow. I call it light up. All of a sudden you notice they light up. I know we're on a topic that's close to their heart. That's how it ought to be with our testimony. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Wow. What else? This is now under Christian growth, the other two. And this will go on and on and on for as long as we serve the Lord. Number five, He's teaching me the importance of trusting Him fully. How many can say, if you're a believer, He's teaching me the importance of trusting Him fully? Maybe you've been serving Him 40 years. Is He still teaching you the importance of trusting Him fully? Huh? Does He still give you opportunities? to trust him? Even though you've been walking, you know, new situations where you are pretty much, you're either going to trust him or you're going to struggle. You know what I'm talking about? The Lord will always put something in your life where you have to exercise that faith. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, because he wants you to keep learning to what? Fully trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? He will direct your path. So he says here in this one verse, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. How does David know this? He knows it by experience, because he is living it day by day as he walks with the Lord and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. So, and that's the other thing, to trust the Lord. It's amazing to me, we trust the Lord for salvation, but then when it comes to some financial issues or family issues or relational issues, then we want to trust everybody else and everything else. But we need to be trusting the Lord. And we need to be an example to our children, to our families, and to everybody that knows us what it means to trust God. Just trust God in every situation. You don't have control of the situation or even that situation exists, but you have control whether you trust the Lord in it or not. And the best way I learned to trust God was watching my parents do it. Not that there couldn't have been other examples, but that was the closest, and it was authentic. Because when you see people close to you trusting God in the family setting, not out there where you're putting on a good show, but in the family setting where you're really you and the problems are real, and there are discussions, and there's this and that, and you see the trust, then you know it's real. And then when you see God come through and work, you know it's real. And when we trust him, trust and obey. Is that what it says in that one song? For there's no other way to be what? Happy. When you're trusting, you can be happy. Even if on the outside it looks like some things are falling apart or falling through the cracks, or you don't know which way they're going to go. But when you're not trusting the Lord, it's real easy to tell, because you're fearful, you're pouting, you're what if, oh my goodness, what if this happens, and all the rest, and you're expecting the worst instead of expecting the best. And then lastly, he keeps sending blessing after blessing. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us. How about that? Sometimes does the Lord really remember me? Does he really know about my situation? Your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Is it not true that the Lord does keep sending blessing after blessing? That doesn't mean there aren't trials. It doesn't mean there aren't difficulties. But those of us who know and serve the Lord, we know it's true. He keeps sending blessing after blessing. That's the testimony of every believer. Well, I said I might sing today. And there's an old song in an old hymnal I got from my mother when she passed away, and it had what were new songs then from the 50s and what were old songs then. This particular song was written by a Methodist minister in 1898. It was sung a lot in churches and at camp meetings. I grew up hearing it at camp meeting. I'm sure Barbara did too. I love this song, and it ties right in with today's word. So I've asked Diane Marshall to learn it, you know, like in learning to play it. And I've asked that the words, I'm only going to do the first four. I'm not going to do all five verses. I'm just going to do the first four. But I'll sing the verses. And if you know them a little bit and want to sing along, feel free. But here's the thing. I want everybody to join on this chorus. And it's easy. And if you hear the chorus, in fact, Dan, can we just go through the chorus first one time before we actually start the song? All right. I tell you, you get a whole congregation singing that energetically, and that's how I want you to sing today. I want you to sing like you really, really mean it. So, verse 1. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established, and here I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. You all sound so good. Is it true? Has he put a new song of praise in your mouth? Y'all would pray. Father, we thank you for that new song and that you've put in our mouths, a song of praise to you. And we pray, Lord, as your people, that we won't be ashamed of it, that we'll be willing to sing it, hum it, or whatever else as we go along. It may take many forms, but on any given day, we've got a song for you. And Lord, as long as there is breath in this body, there will be one more song for you, as Sandy Patty sings sometimes. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Help us to fully acknowledge the type of deliverance you have brought us, But you're the one who have put our feet on a rock. You have established our goings, Lord. You have put us on solid footing, and you want to do so more every day. You've put a new song in our lips. You've given us a testimony worth sharing. You're constantly teaching us the importance of trusting in you, Lord, and you just keep sending blessing after blessing. How can we not praise you today? We thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.